Hello, this is Pastor Cecil A. Thompson, and this is Blessings from the Heart with the message, Haman's Final Resting Place. In Esther chapter 7, verse 10, we find these chilling words. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. Quickly, again, I want to mention, even though it says gallows, that was not a proper interpretation. It was a 75-foot pole sharpened at the end. And that was where Haman ended up. That was Haman's final place. And again, to compare the difference between these two men, Haman had achieved prominence. How he had achieved prominence, we can only imagine. I cannot imagine the type of person that we have read Haman in being, that he achieved his wealth through honest means. I would surmise that he had lived his life cheating people, shortchanging people, doing things that were questionable. Because of his wealth, and probably to pay off the king, he received prominence from the king who had not shown great wisdom. He trusted Haman when he should not have trusted Haman. On the other side of the spectrum, we have Mordecai, who was a righteous man. He was a God-fearing Jew who put God first in everything he did. He never promoted himself. He never stood out in a crowd trying to make himself appear to be greater than he was. He was always faithful. He was always true. And it was the type of person that had molded Esther into the woman who became the queen. She had a regal bearing about her. Earlier in the book of Esther, when we read that she was beautiful and lovely, there was a character quality about Esther that she had achieved from her cousin who had acted as a father for her all of her life. Mordecai had been instrumental in saving the king's life. We never saw that Haman had done anything to save the king's life. He had, as far as we know, in fact, in Scripture, there was never anything righteous that he did. He was always working behind the scenes in a furtive manner to bring about the demise of all the Jews. He had contrived to have the Jews eliminated completely and showing a lack of wisdom. The king had allowed his seal to be placed on the document that sealed the fate of all Jews everywhere in the kingdom that was controlled by the king. Ahasuerus was not a wise king at this time, but he was not a king that would be finally silenced. At the second banquet that was prepared, Haman had gone back. He had expected to be honored, but instead he led Mordecai through the streets, proclaiming aloud, "This is what is done for the man who pleases the king." And here is Mordecai seated on a horse with a robe that the king had worn, with royalty. It was a horse that the king had ridden. And now here is Haman, one of the most prominent of the princes in the kingdom, proclaiming aloud the glory of Mordecai. It was almost more than he could take. But in the midst of all of his ignoble surroundings, having been mortified by leading Mordecai through the streets, he now was summoned to go to the banquet. In his mind, it must have taken some of the edge off because now he was going this for the second time to the banquet. And the banquet was probably sumptuous. It was probably enjoyable. And it took some of the sting out of what he had endured in belittling himself, so he thought, before Mordecai. And finally, the king could not stand it any more, and Ahasuerus asked Queen Esther, "Now, Queen, this is the second banquet, and you said you would tell us today what your request was." And she made that request. If it was just because we were going to be made slaves, I would keep silent. But we have been sold. I and my people are destined to die." The king was absolutely dumbfounded. He was shocked. He could not. Who would do anything to my queen? Who would allow my queen to be killed? And she said, "This wicked Haman. He's the one that did it. Not only me, but all of my people." The king was so absolutely dumbfounded and infuriated, he strode off into the garden. And Haman began to beg for his life, and in so doing, he touched the queen, which was not allowed to be done. And he threw himself upon her to beg for mercy, and just at that time the king returned and saw him. And he was absolutely enraged. And then at that time, I think probably the men who reported to the king what Haman had done did so with glee, because I'm sure there was not a great deal of love lost toward Haman. And they pronounced, "You know, King, he had prepared a huge spike, 75 feet in height, in order to execute Mordecai." It must have crossed the king's mind immediately. "Mordecai, the man who saved my life, he's going to have him impaled on a pole?" And the king was enraged. Immediately they put a hood over Haman's face, over his head, and took him out, and he was impaled on that ugly means of execution that in his mind had been prepared for Mordecai. But it was Haman's final place. And it says in today's scripture, the king's wrath subsided. Peace now ruled. It was not the end. The Jews had been saved, and now Mordecai was going to come forward, and he was going to be in a place of service. Oh, to be in a place of service where God wants us to be. Heavenly Father, in these last 2 days, as we have looked at the life of Mordecai and Haman, and realize, Lord, that you always do all things well. It's not our timing that is important, it's your timing. It's not what we do that is the most important, but what you do for us. And I pray that you would lead and guide and direct and open doors for us and close doors for us. Lord, might we always be willing to do everything that you call us to do. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Blessings, dear hearts. Walk with God today and be a blessing. This is Pastor Cecil.